Welcome to this episode of the Greenville Oaks Message Broadcast. The mission of the Greenville Oaks Church is to inspire people to follow Jesus, because we're convinced that following Jesus is the best way of life possible. Find out more about Greenville Oaks at greenvilleoaks.org and connect with us on social media. We would love it if you could rate and review our podcast. It makes it easier for others to find us. And now, on to this week's message with Lead Minister Wade Hodges.
Professor at Abilene Christian University. He's also an elder at the Highland Church in Abilene, and he's a popular blogger and best-selling author. In full disclosure, I really need to send him a thank you note and a gift card, because there is no way I could have done this series on mental health without his writings. In his book, Hunting Magic Eels, which is my favorite of his books so far and one I highly recommend, Beck tells of a conversation he has with his father, in which his father laments in sort of a, hey, kids, get off my lawn moment, laments that young people don't seem to desire God anymore. And Beck, who spends a lot of time with young people, disagrees with his father's assessment and instead says this. He says, I actually think young people do desire God. They just don't know it. They call this desire anxiety, depression, or loneliness. Everywhere you look in America, you see this longing for God. You see it in rising rates of suicide and addiction. People are in pain, but we've lost the ability to correctly name and diagnose the hurt. The only language young people have for God is the language of mental illness. When they say anxiety or depression, they are expressing a desire for God. And then Beck goes on in the book to say, now speaking as a psychologist, I wasn't suggesting to my dad or to you that severe mental illness can be quickly fixed by coming to Jesus. What I am pointing out is how very unwell we are as a society. And the evidence is everywhere. So we have to ask, what's causing us so much pain? Why is there so much hurt? Why is everyone feeling so anxious, unsettled, and fragile in this skeptical age? Here, Beck is naming one of the major factors contributing to the mental health crisis in our society. It's what he calls in his book, living in a disenchanted world. A world that has lost its enchantment with God. A world that no longer is filled with God's enchanting presence or even the enchanting mystery of God. Another way of describing a disenchanted world is a secular age or a secular worldview. And a secular age promises to give us a scientific explanation or answer to every major question. It offers us technological, mechanical, medical solutions to all of our major problems. And as I mentioned near the end of the message last week, living in a disenchanted world, or
embracing a secular worldview where everything can be reduced to the mechanical, the material, the scientific, the medical, makes God increasingly unnecessary in our everyday life. We might say, I believe in God, but we are able, with a secular worldview, to live as if we don't really need for God to exist in order to get along. Some call this functional atheism. People who say they believe in God, but then can live as if God doesn't really exist. And when God is no longer the organizing principle of our lives, the default replacement is self. And part of Beck's argument in his book and throughout his work is that when we organize our lives around ourselves, we are utterly ill-equipped to deal with the stresses and strains of life. When we organize our lives around self, we are not prepared for life when it gets hard. And this not only makes us vulnerable to mental health challenges because we don't know how to cope, but it also robs us of one of the primary resources that helps us persevere and keep going through difficult times like a mental health challenge. And that is the ability to find meaning. Meaning in our pain. Meaning in our adversity. Meaning in our suffering. And no one has written more powerfully or authoritatively on this subject than Viktor Frankl in his classic book, Man's Search for Meaning. And through his experiences in a Nazi concentration camp where his family was killed, but he survived, he was able to identify the central thesis for his life's work, which has been summarized like this: to live is to suffer, and to survive is to find meaning in the suffering. If the ability to find meaning in difficult situations and circumstances, if finding meaning in hard times is an essential survival skill, no wonder we're having a mental health crisis in a secular society. Because it is very difficult to find meaning apart from God. I want to say it's impossible to find meaning apart from God. Meaning cannot be provided by science or technology or medicine. As helpful as they can be, they cannot give our lives ultimate, deep meaning. And even those who would claim to be able to find meaning without God end up saying they find it in values like love, service, contribution, community, which are leftovers from an enchanted world with God's fingerprints all over them. It is very difficult to find meaning, especially meaning in our suffering, apart from God. So once again, Beck says in Magic Eels, he says, without God, we have to construct meaning out of thin air, all on our own. So we cobble together some reasons to get out of bed each morning, some excuse we tell ourselves to make our daily pains and struggles meaningful. It's very hard to find meaning without God. Without God, all we can do is make up meaning and hope it's strong enough to see us through the day. So what does it mean then when I say God gives life meaning, or God is essential for giving us meaning, which is essential for survival, and not just surviving, but thriving and flourishing in the life? What does it mean to say God can make our lives meaningful? Well, psychologists actually have studied this quite a bit from mostly a secular point of view. And they assign three primary components to a meaningful life. And all three of these components are found most naturally in a relationship with God. The first component of a meaningful life is significance. Meaning comes from believing you matter. Your life matters. Your existence, your presence in this world matters. And mattering is not based on self-esteem. Self-esteem tends to be rooted in comparison to other people. I feel better about myself when I see how much better I'm doing than you are. Or self-esteem comes from the self-satisfaction of knowing I'm achieving the goals I've set for myself. But self-esteem can be high or low on any given day, depending on how I feel about how I'm doing compared to you or compared to my goals. Mattering is not a matter of performance. You do not have to make good grades to matter. You do not have to have a job to matter. You do not have to be married or have children to matter. You do not have to be a Christian to matter. You do not have to be free from addiction to matter. And you do not have to overcome your mental health challenge to matter. We matter not because we say we matter, but because God says we matter and demonstrates how much everyone matters through the story of Jesus. We matter not because of what we can do or achieve or accomplish, but because of who we are. We are human beings created in the image of God. Therefore, we matter. You matter. I matter. Every human being, every human life matters, period. And that's the first component of a meaningful life, believing that no matter what our circumstances are, no matter how well or how poorly we're performing, we matter simply because we're here. And the second component of a meaningful life is coherence. Meaning comes from seeing your life as an unfolding story with a beginning, middle, and end, rather than as a random pile of events thrown together in some chaotic way. Coherence means believing that your life is going somewhere. And admittedly, it is sometimes difficult to see that our lives are going anywhere, especially during difficult times. Mental health challenges can further obscure our view of the big picture, where our lives are going, which is never really available to us anyway, not from this perspective, on this side of heaven. You're never completely sure. And it can be impossible to understand why certain events unfold in our lives the way they do. Impossible to understand why God allows suffering to come upon us or those we love. And as desperate as we are for the answer to the question why, it is often not available to us. In fact, focusing exclusively on why did this happen, can trap us in the past, always looking for someone to blame. There's a story in John 9 where Jesus and his disciples come upon a man born blind. And his disciples are interested in why this man was born blind. They assume it was because of someone's sin, It's a faulty assumption in and of itself. But they now want to know, well, why was he born blind? Who sinned? Did he sin in his mother's womb or did his parents sin? Who's responsible for this? Why did this happen? And Jesus, for his part, is not interested in the why question. He redirects them to the how question. He says, watch how God is going to use this man's blindness to shine the light. You're a little early on the light cue there. To shine the light into the darkness. And sure enough, after Jesus heals the man, the rest of chapter 9 is him being an advocate for Jesus repeatedly as he tells the story of, I once was blind, but now, because of Jesus, I can see. Not why, but how. How is God going to use this? Faith is more than believing God exists. That's the easy part of faith. Faith is also trusting that God can use our pain and suffering to move the story of redemption forward, even when we can't see the big picture or understand why it's all happening the way it is. Here I'm thinking of Joseph, the end of the book of Genesis. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was unjustly imprisoned in Egypt until finally he ascends to the second most powerful position in Egypt, from which he then is able to bless the world during a famine. And it is only in hindsight that Joseph is able to see the coherence of his story. When in chapter 50, he says to his brothers, I know you guys were trying to hurt me. I know you wanted to harm me. You did evil to me, but the evil you did to me, God has used to bless others and saving lives. It didn't make sense to Joseph in the middle of it, but as he gained perspective, he could see the coherence of his story. There was meaning in his pain and suffering. And the challenge of faith when going through something difficult is to trust God that even though we can't see it now, this story's going somewhere. And God is going to use it in some way. So the first two components of a meaningful life, significance, coherence, and then the third, purpose. Meaning comes from believing God has something specific and essential for you to do. And it may be something only you can do. You are here for a reason. In Ephesians 2, the Apostle Paul writes, beginning in verse 8, he says, for it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it's a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork. We are God's creation, God's artwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's all right here if you look closely enough. We matter. Why do we matter? Not because of anything we can do. We matter because of God's grace. It's a gift from God. We matter because we exist, and we exist out of the grace of God. But God isn't content just for us to exist. God creates and saves and then recreates us in Christ Jesus. Why? So that we can do good works. Because God has planned and prepared for us to do something. We are here for a reason. In faith helps us discover our deepest purpose in the service of something bigger than ourselves, namely God and God's story, which is moving forward and taking us with it. God gives us meaning by creating and calling and equipping and then empowering us to use who we are, which includes our gifts, talents, abilities, skills, all that, our wisdom, but also our experience, including our difficult experiences for the sake of others. A meaningful life is a gift from God. And believing we matter and that we can make sense of our lives, even though we can't always see the big picture, but we're able to do it by faith as we fulfill our unique purpose, is essential to mental health. Take away these three components and expect mental health challenges. But not only is it essential to mental health, meaning is also what gives us the resilience we need to persevere, to keep going through mental health challenges, because we believe God can use those challenges and what we learn from them to help others. It's meaning in our suffering. Abraham Lincoln was obviously one of our greatest presidents. He was a man of wit, wisdom, and moral courage. He also battled depression and melancholy for most of his adult life. As a young man, he suffered two major emotional breakdowns that today his political opponents would use to disqualify him from the White House. And Lincoln's depression never fully receded. Everything he did, it was always there with him. But he used it as fuel for his important work. He found a way to transcend his depression by throwing himself into a cause and a purpose bigger than himself or his depression. And he was able to use his experience with depression, which taught him patience and perseverance, which also gave him a sober perspective on human nature and therefore politics. He was able to use the wisdom he gained from wrestling with his depression to lead our country through a time of terrible darkness. And this is how he found meaning in his suffering. Faith is more than believing God exists. Faith is trusting God to use our painful events, our difficult circumstances, to equip us to minister to others going through similar circumstances. We can find a purpose in our pain. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul talks about how the troubles he and his traveling companions experienced put so much pressure on him that they despaired of life itself. It was that hard. It was that dark. They despaired of life itself. But then he says that he can see how the comfort they received from God during those hard times is what equipped them to offer comfort to others when they're going through hard times. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, "Praise be to God, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we have received from God." This is one way we find meaning in our pain. What we learn about God, what we receive from God, becomes a gift we can then offer to others. Imagine you're standing on the bank of a raging river. And on the other side, on the other bank, there's a group of people beckoning you to cross the river. And they're yelling messages to you. "You can do it. It's not as bad as it looks. Everything's going to be all right. You're going to be just fine. But nevertheless, the water still looks pretty scary to you. And you remain stuck on your side of the river. One writer says that's what the advice and encouragement from well-meaning friends and family feels like when you're going through a mental health challenge. And he goes on to say that what makes the difference is when someone from the other side comes to you and says, I've been in these troubled waters before, and I know how scary they can be. Let's cross over together. You matter. Your life is going somewhere. You're here for a purpose. And there are a number of possible reasons you may be going through a mental health challenge right now, why you may be suffering or have suffered. And you may never get a definitive answer to the question of why. You may never find out why. But you can begin to answer the question of how. How can God use your experience, your pain, your suffering to bless someone else? How can God use you to minister to someone going through a similar experience? How can God give your pain a purpose? How can God help you find meaning in your suffering? Because you matter. And your life is going somewhere, even though you can't see the big picture right now. And you are here for a reason. So may you find in your life, in your pain, in your struggles, in your suffering, a durable, eternal kind of meaning that can only come from God, who is with you every step of the way. Please stand for the benediction. Let's read this benediction out loud together. We are not alone. We have God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have the Scriptures, a cloud of witnesses giving us hope. We have the church. We have each other. We are not alone. And the church said, Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the message from the Greenville Oaks Message Broadcast. We hope this message enriched your life and can help you inspire others to follow Jesus, because we honestly believe following Him is the best way of life possible. Be sure to connect with us online on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.